Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Let us read these verses together. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Romans, as some may have said before, it is a book of the book within the Bible. It speaks about how one can arrive at eternal life. And later on, it talks about how one can live according to the new life. That's what the book of Romans is about. How can one be made righteous? How can one receive eternal life? And how can one live according to the new life given? In chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 17 is an introduction to the book of Romans. And from verse 18 of chapter 1 to verse 20 in chapter 3, it deals with the issue of sin, sins of Gentiles, the sins of the Jews, sins of the world. As Apostle Paul penned this letter, the first time that he deals with sin first is because sin has started it all. The sin issue, the problem of sin. For you and I personally, it is because of sin that all problems arose. As a consequence of sin, the death came about. So, beloved, the true issues of life, the true problem of life is not of the things of the world, is not of the materialistic things of the world. The problems of today exist not because of lack of things in the world, but it is because of sin. So the problems of life does not arrive or originate from the lack of things of this world, but it arises from sin. And it is because sin begot death. Sin produces death. An analogy would be as a fisherman goes fishing and he catches a fish, and then you reel it up for a little bit, that fish would try to get away, and even after you bring it all up into the boat, it'll splatter around, but after a little while it would eventually die. And it is the same for us, beloved. You and I may look like we are living, but we are like this fish that is splattering around at the last moments of its breath. And so it is for us, beloved. Because of sin, we are dead. Because of sin, we are heading towards our grave. And this sin problem cannot be resolved by the wisdom of the world, by the things of the world. Paul, as he writes this letter to the church in Rome, he first now deals with the issue of sin. And he does that, firstly, because he is aware that all of life's problem begins with sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we see that just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sin, so through one man sin entered the world. And if you look on chapter 6, verse 17, it says, Though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And going back to verse 16, it says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to those one whom you obey, whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death. So one man sinned, and therefore sin entered into the world through one man. So what is the sin of this one man? It was that the man listened to the lies of Satan and ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Mankind ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, the mankind that was created according to God's image, his likeness, the one that was created to be the vessel that is united with God himself, that vessel strayed away from that created position and desire to be God of themselves. They have surrendered their blessed original created position. The mankind must remain as a mankind. A man must be man, but the mankind strayed away from God and rejected God and wanted to be gods themselves, wanted to be angels themselves, capable of supernatural powers. And that is what the mankind wanted. They did not want to remain as a man, the man that God had created originally, the man that God had created to be in union with God. So the original man surrendered, the original man gave up being the mankind that God had created him to be. So the mankind that strayed away from this original design of God is sin. So theologically, one may ask what sin is. It is when an arrow is shot, it is the straying away of the arrow from the target that is sin. So sin for mankind, one may easily describe it as the outside behaviors, or such as lying and stealing, but deep within, that is not what sin is. That's just an outer consequence of sin. Sin is to stray away from its intended target. The mankind straying away from God's original design for him and for her is what sin is. So all mankind living today, because of sin, they do not want to surrender to God. They hate the word of God. They do not want to submit to God. So for example, in a company, if there are two presidents, you may think the more the better and the company will flourish, but that is not the case. The people working there does not know who to follow. The two may offer good solutions to issues, but what it will result in is strife, an argument against one another's opinion. And the ones working under those two owners or the presidents of the company would fight and argue against one another, arguing for their own presidents. And it is the same in the political scenes these days. Politicians belonging to different parties, they argue and they stress different points of view, and they don't agree with one another. They fight and argue, disagree with one another. And therefore, in our relationship with God, if there are two gods in our life, God the Creator and God we made ourselves to be, then that will never work. So you and I, the mankind, are created to be in union with God, but we made ourselves to be God ourselves. So the mankind being created according to God's image, being and straying away from that and giving up being the mankind that he was designed to be, that is what sin is. And that is why when Jesus was tempted, Satan came and told Jesus to make bread from the stones, and it was the same temptation. In the garden, the Satan came and pointed to the fruit tree of knowledge good and evil, Eve from this tree. And when Eve looked at that tree, it is said that the tree to the woman looked good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. And it was the same temptation that was given to Jesus Christ, Satan, testing Jesus to make bread from the stone. So Jesus answered him, not as the Son, not as God himself, but as a man, from the position of a man. And Jesus pointed out that from the position of a man, it was not at the position of the man to make bread from the stone. And all these other temptations that Satan gave him was in the same vein, where Satan was testing Jesus to act as God, but Jesus answered the temptation of Satan from the perspective of a man that was not made to jump from the top of the mountain and not be hurt, a man that was made not to be the ruler of all of his creation. So when Jesus was able to thwart away the temptation of Satan, was not through his divine power, but it was Jesus answering the temptation of Satan through the perspective of the mankind that God has made him to be. So even as you are in your marriage, there's this unity in that. Even after a long time of marriage, there is no true union in that because of sin. So the purpose of God's design in creating mankind and straying away from that is sin. So you would come to know whether there is sin within your heart when you begin to question your relationship with God, whether it is you who is God or God the Creator. And you could even examine your heart while you are in church today. Are you here asking God to answer your worldly wishes? That is not faith. The reason that God created you and I according to His image is because when He comes within us, we become the image of God. And we were created to display His glory when He begins to live within us. That is our purpose in life. That is our responsibility in life. And within that is found the preciousness and the blessedness of being a mankind. And away from that, do not pursue any happiness, any joy in this world. And beloved, your life in itself is an evidence that points to that truth. If you relied upon the wealth and the fame and the power of this world, do you truly find happiness, lasting happiness in life? You would, at the end of your life, will realize that you have been deceived, that you were created to worship God only. You were created to display the glory of God only. Are you such a being today? That answers whether you are in a right relationship with God or not today. But for many, they have no relationship with God. Even the ones who are sitting in the sanctuary, many do not have that such relationship with God. They are here simply to seek their own desires and wants. So the question, beloved, is, do you have an answer to your sin? Do you have an answer to the sin problem in your life? So, beloved, that is the origin of sin. But the sad thing is many churches do not know this origin of sin. They simply refer to sin as merely the outer workings of sin within. They fail to realize all of the outworking of sin comes from the original of sin or original sin. And that is why their spirit, their soul, their body is corrupt. And that is why we are all dying, headed towards grave. Beloved, the only person who became a sinner because they sin is Adam. But for the rest of us, we are not sinners because we sin. We are sinners because we have been born a sinner from Adam. We have been born as a sinner. And so we sin because we are sinners, and therefore we find it not difficult for us to sin. We find it easy for us to be angry and hateful to the people around us. And how easy it is to hate our neighbor, how easy it is to be angry at people around us. It is because we are sinners. We have sin within us. Sin resides within us. That's why sin so easily makes its way out of us. So in religious circles, people may ask, why am I a sinner if I have not sinned? They falsely think that sin is only what they commit. Sometimes you hear people saying that, why am I a sinner if I have not committed any grave sin? I haven't committed any big sins that serious and big enough for God to come and die for me. But the sin resides in mankind when they are born. But the people of this world say that I haven't sinned greatly against God. I haven't committed any sin big enough and grave enough for God, the Creator, to come and die for my sin. It is because the mankind fails to understand the problem of sin. They fail to understand the original sin. And even the people in the church, sometimes they are tempted to think, what great sin have I committed? And oftentimes they are told to repent of their sin, but the people ask themselves and look within their heart, they wonder what great sin that they have committed that they need to repent. So there is that somewhat of an unclear understanding of sin in people's mind. Deep within their heart, they do not understand the sin. And so without understanding of the mankind's original sin, then there cannot be a relationship with God. So the greatest problem of all mankind is the issue of whether you are a sinner or not. Beloved, the problem of sin is not resolved by merely your emotional experiences. People may cry, people may get very emotional merely by thinking of the sins that they committed against God, but they do not understand the seriousness of the sin that resides within them. They do not understand the original sin. They do not understand the origin of their sin. So therefore, they do not think through the issues of sin, but instead they try to approach God through their own efforts and through their own will, and they try to fit God into that false way of thinking, and they simply see God as one who comes alongside, who would offer the help that they need. Beloved, if you think that way in Christian faith, then you don't have anything that is different from other religious circles like Confucianism or Buddhism. The people who think that all you need to do is work hard and be good and enjoy this life, then you are in delusion. But you come to church and you realize from the Bible that from birth you were a sinner, and you begin to ask God to give you an answer for the problem of sin. You realize all of your prayers in the past were in vain, praying for power, even spiritual power, to be victorious against sin. God would not honor that prayer. And if such prayer was answered to that person will probably turn cultic and make God of themselves. What God desires of us is not power. God desires for you to come to know that you are a sinner from birth. Once you come to know that you are a sinner, then your prayer changes. You begin to seek the cross of Jesus Christ. You begin to seek after the blood of Jesus Christ. Then you begin to pray for nothing else except for the cross of Jesus and the blood of Christ. And you begin to pray that you will come to know the mystery of the cross of Jesus Christ. So if you do not know that you are a sinner, then your prayer is simply about asking God for the material things of this world. But Jesus simply said, do not seek for such a thing. Jesus knows that once your sin problem is resolved, all these other things will be added onto you. But instead, people continue to pray for the things of this world. And that is why Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6 reminds the people to look at the birds of the air and ask if they are able to eat and survive, live through life, because they provide for themselves. No, it says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Jesus asks. Do birds of the air worry? Do the cows on the field worry? So Jesus says, how come you worry about what you will eat, drink, and wear? But the reality is that the birds of the air and the cows of the field, they do not sow or reap or store away. And you may think people are different, but think clearly. Can a man create a single kernel of rice? Can a man create a single piece of clothing out of nothing? We are, in that perspective, the mankind is no different than the birds of the air, but yet we worry. And if you worry, does it enable you then to make a single kernel of rice? Does it enable you to be able to make clothes out of nothing? You still remain the same as birds and the cows. We are the same in that perspective, but where is our worry coming from? It comes from our original sin. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, that original sin that departed from God, that is where our worries come from. If you think deeply, you will come to know that you are no different than a bird, unable to do utterly nothing, anything, but you worry as if you are able to do something. You are deceived to think that you can truly do something. All of your judgments, all of your doings and actions are a result of your original sin coming from after eating from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Then what is the solution? The solution is not to worry, and in order for you not to worry, then you have to resolve the issue of your original sin. Beloved, attaining the wealth of this world will not resolve your sin issue. If your original sin is answered for, then you will be like the birds of the air, praising God, not being worried about what you will eat, drink, or wear. And that is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. And he reminds them and says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And Job would ask, who feeds the crows of the air? And he reminds us how precious we are as compared to the birds of the air. Just as he dresses and feeds the birds of the air, Jesus reminds us that if that is how God clothes and feeds and takes care of the birds and the grass of the field, then will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, beloved, if the original sin is answered for, when the original sin is taken care of, then all of our life's problems will be answered. And that is why Jesus reminds them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So instead of seeking after all the worldly things, you must seek to do away with sin, to have an answer to your original sin. Can you have your original sin washed from this world? You must eliminate this original sin from your life. And that is why Jesus had to come. That is why Jesus had to die on the cross. So, beloved, our position has to change from ourselves to Jesus Christ. We must go to the cross of Jesus Christ, the one who claimed himself as God after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That person cannot win against sin. The way of the Bible, the blessed way of the Bible, is to go to the cross of Jesus and to see that death of Jesus was our death and encounter Jesus Christ on the cross and have our sins are forgiven. That's what it means to be born again. And once we are born again, then there is nothing more left for us to do. And just as Apostle Paul says after he encountered Jesus Christ, to live is to Christ. And that is why people around a believer, a person who is born again, will see the transformation in their lives. A person who may look like he has nothing, but he is full of joy. And that is what evangelizing is, to show the transformed life of a genuine believer because of Christ residing within them. And in some ways, people are so busy learning the techniques of evangelizing because that is not a reality in their life. If Christ is truly dwelling within you, if you are truly experiencing the joy of Christ within you, there is no need to learn the methods of evangelizing. So to go to Jesus Christ, in other words, to come to know the cross of Jesus Christ, to die at the cross of Jesus Christ, for the cross of Jesus Christ to become a reality in our lives through faith, through the working of the Spirit. When the gospel comes, then you are empowered. Then you have the Spirit of Christ. Then you have the conviction that will win against this world. But instead, people ask for power, ask for spirit, ask for conviction of faith while their original sin still resides within them. So, beloved, our fundamental problem is the fact that we are born a sinner. That is why we must go to the cross and come to know that his death on the cross is our death. That death on the cross is a death that puts to death our old self that gave in to the deception of Satan. That is what it means to go to Jesus, which is to go to the cross of Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 39, starting on verse 4 to 8. Let us read these verses together. Psalm 39, verses 4 to 8. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom. As he goes to and fro, he bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. This is the prayer of David. He does not ask God for great power, but he asks God to show him his life's end, his death, the number of his days, so that he may come to know how fleeting his life is. What's all these prayer leading up to? That he might come to know how fleeting his life is. That he might come to know how sinful he is. He might come to know how weak he is. And David knew that God had made his days a mere handbreadth. The span of his years is as nothing before God. Each man's life is but a breath. So he knew that those people who sought after success of this world and boasted of their success, they were nothing but a handbreadth. Their life will last nothing but a handbreadth. That a man is mere a phantom as he goes to and fro. And so he goes on to say, what do I look for? My hope is in you. My save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. So this prayer of David reflects someone who come to know the reality of sin and came to know the meaning of this life. So beloved, through faith, we come to know that all of God's creation was created through God's Word. When was this world created? Were you and I, the mankind, there when God created the universe? But Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says that we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. There is that conviction. There is that certain understanding that the universe was formed at God's command. Can you know and truly come to a conviction so many thousands of years ago that this world was created by God? But it says that we came to understand that the universe was formed at God's command. How? By faith, it says. That faith is Jesus Christ. It is the gift of God from Him. Faith in the creation of the universe. The creation of the universe through God's command, through His Word, is a reality in your life. And it only becomes a reality in your life only by faith. And that conviction, that firm, clear conviction, is only possible by faith. And where does faith come from? It is not through your own will or decision. It is only through Jesus Christ. And by the working of the Spirit, when that faith comes, we come to understand that the universe was formed at God's command. And it is because that same God, the creator of the universe, now resides within us. The one who created the universe, He came to this earth as in person of Jesus Christ, and His Spirit now resides within us. And therefore, when He comes to us by faith, we truly come to believe in the fact that the universe was created at God's command. And in so many years after the creation of the world through the Word of God, we are able to believe it is because of faith. And that is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about faith. That is what you and I need. We need faith. If we have faith, then you and I will be able to believe in what's in the Bible, that what's in the Bible would become a reality in our lives. How blessed it is to have faith. And that is what has happened to David when he prays to God that show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. He's praying that God would enable him to return to the dust of the earth, come to know his own nature. And that's the prayer that every one of us should pray, that we would come to know ourselves, who we are before God. That is the most critical prayer that you ought to pray, that God will reveal to you who you are before him. God will reveal to you the problem of original sin. So David prays that God will show him the reality of his life. And God did show him that man is a mere phantom. As he goes to and fro, he bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. And that is the way of life for the people of this world today. They bustle about. They are busy in life, seeking after the things that are simply vain. Why are your prayers not answered? Because you are praying for the things that are in vain. God will not answer such prayers. You must pray according to the Bible. You must pray for the cross of Jesus Christ. You must pray that God would enable you to believe in the cross of Jesus Christ, that God would open your eyes to see yourself at the cross of Jesus Christ, that God would enable you to come to know that you have died and rose again at the cross of Jesus Christ. And by faith, if you truly come to believe, then all of your life issues and problems are answered. And once you come by faith, come to believe on the cross of Jesus Christ, and that is why Jesus says, then all these things will be added unto you. So, beloved, you must come to know your origin, your own sinful nature. You must come to know that in the past you have sought for the things of this world. You must come to know that your prayers must change. You must come to know that you've been tied down to religion. So one thing for you to remember is that you must not simply hear the words that you like to hear, such as God's promise about blessings, and you interpreting God's promises of blessings as his promise of you, of God blessing you in the material things of this world. And those things are easy for you to hear, but you must lend your ears to what God desires to give you, not for the things that your fallen self would like to have. Though you may not want to hear, but you must hear what God wants for you to hear. What is that? It is the Word of God. God's Word that says you are a sinner, something that you do not like to hear. The truth that you must die at the cross of Jesus. Earthly man doesn't like to hear that neither. Earthly man like to hear and read that you will be blessed and things will go well. But the truth is, what is good about things going well in this world? Beloved, if you don't have true life, you would eventually rot and die. You would simply give away the foul smell of death. That is the reality of the life of an earthly man living on this earth today. What you and I absolutely need are not the vain things of this world that will eventually waste away, but we need the life of Jesus Christ. So to encounter that person of Jesus Christ, there is a place to encounter him. It is at the cross of Jesus Christ. Do not seek him anywhere else but at the foot of the cross. It is not, you will not encounter him at the place of Jesus feeding the 5,000. People only saw, as a result, Jesus as one who fed the 5,000. People only saw one Jesus who resurrected Lazarus' life. People there did not truly encounter Jesus Christ, but the place where you would encounter and meet the personal Jesus Christ is at the cross of Jesus. At the cross of Jesus, you must come to see and discover that was a place that you were hung on the cross as well. So, beloved, do not go to all the wrong places to find Jesus. Beloved, you must encounter Jesus Christ at the cross of Jesus. That just as David prayed, you must pray that God will show you your life's end and the number of your days. Beloved, your life is short, that your days are a mere handbreadth, and the span of your years as nothing before God. And if such is your life, then who must you seek? And just as David, you must pray to God that God would forgive you of your sin. And beloved, this is the way to eternal life. Though this might be uncomfortable for you to hear about sin, about death, but this is the way to life. A while back ago, the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, came to Korea. He was actually preaching only among the pastors, where there were thousands of pastors gathered. He preached, he taught them a way to increase their church attendees. And the secret, he said, was shocking to hear, that he said was not, don't mention sin. And when I heard that, I was convinced that was not the word of God, but that was the message of the Satan. And if someone says, do not preach about sin, and says, if you preach about sin, people will not come to church, it will not increase the number in your church, that is not the way of life, that is the way of death. So, beloved, in order for you to live, you must go to the physician. And if the physician advises for you to have an operation, and you must then go to the operating table and be operated on, and if you don't, then you will face your death. Here it says in our main text, is wrath of God is where? It says, wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So these are the people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So what is this act of wickedness and the godlessness that suppress the truth? What is that? Where is that coming from? And this is coming from the original sin. These are the expressions that come from the original sin. If you go to the end of chapter 1, we see the expressions of the original sin. And so one of the symptoms of the original sin is for people, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served God, served created things rather than the Creator. So these people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, what is this truth? It is not the doctrine. It's speaking of the truth. It is speaking of the reality of the person of Jesus Christ. It is speaking of the truth. So it is the suppression of Christ, suppression of the person of Jesus Christ, suppression of the gospel. So Jesus Christ is the only truth. The truth about Jesus Christ, what He has done for you and me, what He has done on the cross, His life, His death, His resurrection, that is the truth. So anything or anyone that suppresses that gospel of Christ from coming, they are the ones who are suppressing the truth with by their wickedness. And for such people, the wrath of God is being revealed. In Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, it says, God is a righteous judge, a God who expresses His wrath every day. If He does not relent, He will sharpen His sword. He will bend and string His bow. He has prepared His deadly weapons. He makes ready His flaming arrows. Beloved, have you seen God's wrath in these verses? It says, God in His wrath. He is God, is righteous, and he expresses his wrath. And see what the wrath of God is, beloved. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will come the wrath of God upon this earth for the unbelievers here on earth. So wrath of God at the second coming, and there is a wrath of God that is revealed in the evil of this world. If you do good, you are blessed. If you do evil, you are cursed. That is also where the wrath of God comes. And thirdly, the wrath of God is expressed in letting people be in their own ways. And we see that in Romans. We see that in verse 24, it's therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. And we see in the scriptures also in regards to the Israelites, God also left the Israelites to do according to their own hearts. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 11, for this reason God has sent them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. And going back to previous couple of verses, as coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth. And so they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So the judgment of God, the wrath of God, comes in a way where God gives them over to the lies, gives them over to the lawlessness. In Psalm 90, verse 7, it says, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80. If we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Beloved, as we live daily, why do we live in shame? Why do we experience troubles? Why do we experience suffering? It is because of his anger, because of his wrath upon the evil deeds of mankind. That is the reason why we live our years in moaning, why we live our years in worries and indignation. We lack peace. It is because of sin. And when sin is within us, then we lack peace. We are heavy burdened by our own sin. And that is why it says, all our days pass away in your path. In Job, it says, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. All these verses are speaking of the lives of mankind lived out without repentance. God, who provided his Son, Jesus Christ, to give us forgiveness of sin, but if you fail and if you refuse to believe, then the wrath of God is reserved for them. The burden of his wrath is laid upon the lives of mankind. And sometimes this burden of sin laid upon mankind for those that God blesses, that becomes a burden that pushes them over to Christ, pushes them over towards God. So the wrath is God's response to the man's rejection towards God's original plan of his creation. The mankind going out into the world, straying away from God's design, declaring their own independence, seeking their own happiness. God's response to all of that, those man's response, sinful response, is his wrath. But if you refuse to repent till the end, then God will let you be. And at the end, as it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, you'll be reserved for the fire of hell. Those who do not believe in Jesus right now, their bodies have died, but their spirit is awaiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. And everything comes to a conclusion, and God is patiently waiting after the millennial kingdom has passed. At the end, there will be the separation between eternal heaven and eternal hell. The scariest thing of all is the wrath of God that renders the spirit of mankind to be thrown into the lake of fire at the end. So this morning in our main text, we read the verses that Paul is speaking of this problem of sin. But we must remember this is the most important issue. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Beloved, God has given us conscience. He has given us the lamp in our conscience. So we sin and it speaks against our conscience, and we don't find it in the animal kingdom, but we find it in the heart of mankind. And He has given us wisdom to come to know Him. In Ecclesiastes, He speaks about how God has given us a heart that longs for eternity. Before faith comes, mankind can somewhat indirectly glean in the possibility of existence of God. But faith must come in order to give us certainty to believe in God. On verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So, beloved, within the mankind, He has given us ability to glean into the existence of God, to long for eternity within mankind, that He has made it plain to us about Himself. And so it says that the mankind is without excuse. Even Einstein, through his studies in science, he claimed to be convinced at the end that there is God. Just looking at how sophisticated our body is, the mankind can glean the existence of the Creator. Even a mosquito itself is something that God created. From our perspective, we see mosquito as something we have to kill. But the mosquito is actually moaning and sigh, awaiting for the sons of God to appear. But the mankind failed to understand why and how God created even a small insect like a mosquito. The mankind will fail to understand His purpose, His design. With our fallen nature, fallen eyes, we cannot even begin to understand even a reason His design for creating a small insect like the mosquito. And we see now the true design of God revealed in the millennial kingdom, where it speaks about how the lion will be feeding off the grass on the field. And that nature restored will be seen in the millennial kingdom. And furthermore, our body and even the minute ways that our body is designed. For example, all of the small hair follicles in our body is pointing downward, except the follicles in our digestive tract pointing upward so that it's designed to repel dust and other foreign matters that would harm our body. Such is the creative way of God's creation that points to the existence of the designer, the creator. Even looking at a flower, it is mysterious. The world of insects is wonderful, miraculous, mysterious. The more you dig into their design, you will come to conclusion that there is a creator. So, beloved, in conclusion, it is because of our lack of knowledge of sin, the original sin, we lack thankfulness. We lack knowledge of His creation, His design. As I said before faith comes, we fail to know these things. But when faith comes, we come to know that this world has been made, created according to His word. And it is only when faith comes, we come to truly know that this world has been created by God, and it becomes plain to us. And so, beloved, what must you pray for now? I pray that you will come to the cross of Jesus Christ, that you will find an answer to your original sin and be blessed by God. Holy Father, I pray that you will grant us faith that will cause us to focus on Christ. I pray that you would enable us to see the creation of your world that you have created through the eyes of faith. I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes. I pray that you would grant us living faith. And I pray that we would encounter the person of Jesus Christ at the cross. I pray, Lord, regardless of what difficult circumstances come, sufferings come, that you will make us victorious, being able to be thankful in all circumstances. I pray that you will not just, that we will not just remain here on earth, but let us look up to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.